Nous allons reprendre avec Vadim Kalochine. Et Vadim a obtenu donc récemment, comme l'a dit Alain Chancinère, des résultats sur la diffusion dans le problème des trois corps. Et donc ce qui est en lien direct avec ce problème des intersections homoclines et hétéroclines, là, que ces treillis compliqués dont parlait Poincaré. Et donc Vadim va nous en parler plus en détail. Et je pense qu'il va faire sa conférence en anglais. Voilà. Bien.
I'm sorry to give a talk in English. My French is not good enough. Primary goal is this memoir of Poincaré. It generated an enormous activity in the field of dynamical systems and other fields. So I'll just pick one topic which is highly influenced by the talk of Poincaré, and it is related to some astronomical phenomenon. And let me just tell you that what I would like to do, I would like to basically borrow part of Alain Chancinère's talk and describe you how splitting of separatrices leads to serious instabilities which are easily visible in the solar system. And as a main motivation, I'll tell you about Kirkwood gaps. So this is just some phenomena which astronomers saw in the solar system very clearly. And then I'll tell you a heuristic description of Jacques Wisdom of this phenomenon. And I want to clearly distinguish there is a numerics which one could do, and there is a mathematical model which rigorously describes this phenomenon. I want to separate it and clearly say that I will be on the mathematical part of the story. And for me, the main goal is to describe you some mathematical mechanism which leads to these Kirkwood gaps. And then Alain mentioned it several times. I will connect Kirkwood gaps and Wisdom description to so-called Arnold diffusion and KAM theory. And after I'll give you some motivating thoughts, I'll think into this description, mathematical description of three-body problem. And it turns out that there is a big difference between so-called restricted circular and restricted elliptic problem. And after I'll basically reproduce what Alain Chancinère said, I'll show you how splitting of separatrices could give you some idea about formation of Kirkwood gaps. So I need to press the button. So what is the Kirkwood gaps? For astronomers, this is probably everybody knows. There are about 1.7 million asteroids flying between orbit of Mars and orbit of Jupiter. And for some reason, when one tries to do a histogram and looks at the histogram of the following kind, so on this axis, I would like to write a ratio of periods. Namely, I take a period of Jupiter, a period of asteroid, and divide by period of Jupiter. Then it turns out that if you order this 1.7 billion asteroids where this axis is a ratio of periods, then for some reason where the ratio of periods is some rational number with small entries, so I'll say it's P over Q, and if it's 1 over 3 or 5 over 2, then it turns out that there are big gaps in the distribution of this of the asteroids. And my goal is to try to describe you mathematically how one could explain this phenomenon. And basically, at this point, I want to I want to define some objects which I will be using, and they were also mentioned by in the previous talk. So first of all, when I have period of asteroids and period of Jupiter Bill rational number, this is so-called mean motion resonance. And I will be trying to give you a mathematical model of how what is the dynamics of mean motion or resonance and what it has to do with splitting of separatrices. So for this, let me remind you the orbits of a two-body problem. Alan already mentioned them. So mathematically speaking, they are conic sections, but I'll be... it's probably not visible here. So two-body problem. So the orbits of two-body problem are either circular or elliptic. They could also be parabolic, but I will be mainly interested in the orbits of two-body problem, which either circular or elliptic. And when I draw an orbit, an elliptic orbit of a two-body problem, then there is a focus, and there is a semi-major axis, which I will denote by 2a, and then there is a distance, which is a times 1 minus e, where a is a semi-major axis, and e is eccentricity. So here's a heuristic explanation of us of wisdom of why these Kirkwood gaps have appeared. So one draws an orbit of a Jupiter. So this is an orbit of a Jupiter, and then inside one draws an orbit of Mars, and then it turns out this is a theorem of Lagrange and. So it turns out that this stays nearly constant. So semi-major axes are practically non-changing for a sufficiently long time. And I would like to understand how the orbit of asteroid behaves in time. And it turns out that one could start with an orbit of asteroid, which is nearly circular. And you could pick one of those orbits. And it turns out that under influence of Jupiter, E of t... becomes it's not constant, so there are fluctuations. And so if one describes these fluctuations on a time axis, then it turns out that at some point eccentricity could become so large that the orbit of asteroid will be something like this. So I'm slightly exaggerating. So I let me take orbit of Jupiter had been even bigger. So what happens is that a semi-major axis stays nearly the same, but because eccentricity is changing, there could be some dangerous place, namely some critical eccentricity, and this is eccentricity for which orbit of asteroid will be start to cross orbit of Mars. So basically, if you trust that eccentricity and the eccentricity of orbits in asteroid belt are between 0 and 0.3, so if eccentricity of asteroid will start to do some fluctuations and at some point hits E star, which is critical eccentricity, then it will start crossing orbit of Mars. And because asteroids are so light, Mars will give it a kick and send it away from the solar system, or at least send it far away. So from this wisdom heuristic description, what I want to borrow, the fact that if eccentricity under influence of Jupiter makes some fluctuations. So this happens under influence of Jupiter. Then one could describe these Kirkwood gaps using some mathematical model. So now what I would like to do, I would like to say some words about Arnold diffusion. And this is a phenomena which was numerically observed by many physicists. And what I would like to start, with Arnold example. And this Arnold example will be a model in which the formulas are a lot simpler and the geometric objects which are involved are a lot simpler. And hopefully it will give some insight about why eccentricity of asteroid making some random fluctuations. So Arnold example is a differential equation in five-dimensional space. And let me write down the formula. So basically what I have a pendulum and a rotator. And what I claim is that later I will explain how this model fits into the description of Kirkwood gaps into the splitting of separatrices. So that's an integrable system. So for me, phi is an angle. Q is an angle. Phi is an angle. Q is an angle. P and I are actions. So these are both numbers. And what I would like to do, I would like to add a perturbation. And let me draw the unperturbed system. So maybe I'll write it here. Phi dot is I dot is epsilon, da, da, da. P dot is sine Q, and Q dot is P. So if I look at the behavior of this system, then there is a clear separation before the perturbation of one variable, which is a rotator. And before you make a perturbation, then what happens, all the orbits of the rotator, they just perform in the periodic motions. And then there is the other component, which is a pendulum. And this starts to look a little more similar to the pictures which Alan was drawing. So this is my pendulum. This is a QP plane. And this is 0, and this is 2 pi. And these are the orbits of the pendulum rotating around. So this will be the basic model which I would like to bring to your attention. And let me state a conjecture which was given by Chirikov, and this is a reason why Arnold diffusion is called diffusion. So what Chirikov observed numerically is that if you look at the orbits of the of this system numerically, then yes. This one or the? It's okay.
There it's okay, but here it's not okay.
Okay, so what Chirikov said, that let's consider initial conditions. If initial conditions have small p energy of the pendulum, let me say epsilon small, then I of t logarithm 1 over epsilon square goes to a random walk. So let me tell you what do I mean. So you see I have a Hamiltonian system or differential equation, and what I do as experimentalist, I just pick, say, 1,000 initial conditions. And the initial conditions, for each of the initial conditions, what I do, I just evaluate energy of the pendulum, and geometrically it means that I just look at the region which is relatively close to the separatrix. Now, I take 1 million conditions, where, or of Arnold's example, and then I plug these initial conditions into the computer, and what I start to plot, the I variable, and what I claim is that if I plot I variable, this is a time axis, then the I variable under a certain time scale will start to perform random walk, and this is a very important phenomenon because it's not that I'm telling you what one orbit is doing. I'm telling you what most orbits are doing. So you, as experimentalists, you pick 1 million initial conditions and just integrate for that much time. And after you integrate it for that much time, what you will see? You will see fluctuations of the action variable, and I hope you see at least superficially that there is some similarity with eccentricity. So mathematically, proving Arnold diffusion is a highly challenging problem, but maybe in some future, mathematicians would be able to prove this statement, but numerically you could easily see it, and I asked Massimiliano Guzzo to do numerics for this example, and numerics convincingly showed that there is some random behavior for the action component, and this is indeed quite fascinating. You start with a differential equation, which you could write a formula, so this is completely deterministic, and then you pick different initial conditions, and after you're picking different initial conditions, what you come up with, a random process, and this random process is that one of the variables performing fluctuations in the action space. So now what I would like to do, I would like to start telling you what it has to do with the three-body problem. And if you didn't catch formulas, then what I will try to convince you, that splitting of separatrices, if you look carefully at it, will produce some random behavior. And you could see this random behavior for the three-body problem. So now I actually borrowed several slides from Alan's talk. So what I would like to do, I would like to start with the three-body problem. And the three-body problem I want to analyze is the one on the right. Namely, I really want to consider this is the Sun, this is a Jupiter, and this is my test particle or asteroid which rotates inside of the orbit of the Jupiter. And now I want to look mathematically at the behavior of this test particle. Moreover, I want to look at the behavior of this test particle in a very special regime. I want that period of asteroid divided by period of Jupiter is equal to 1/3. This is the most visible resonance or mean motion resonance which you could see in Kirkwood gaps. And and I want to study my Hamiltonian system in this regime. So now let me do some mathematical calculations. So maybe I want to use this picture. Okay. Maybe I'll erase here. So basically what I would like to do, I would like to study now study the three-body problem. So let me just look at motion of asteroid. And when I study motion of asteroid, I just look at the interaction with all possible planets, which is Qj minus Qa divided by Qj minus Qa. And then out of all these interactions, I just pick the two most important ones, namely interaction with the Sun. And interaction with the Jupiter. And actually all other interactions are negligibly small compared to compared to these two interactions, so I neglect the rest. What I do, I will study so-called restricted three-body problem where mass of asteroid is infinitesimally small. And when it is infinitesimally small, I'm still left with well-defined differential equations. Since I'm neglecting mass of asteroid, I want to look at what are the orbits of Sun and Jupiter, and there are two possibilities. They are either circular or elliptic, and mathematically it makes a big difference. So if orbits of Sun and Jupiter are circular, then this is the part of the story which Alan was talking about, namely a circular problem is a differential equation. So it's a differential like equation in three-dimensional space. And if you are careful enough, then differential equation in three-dimensional space will produce a Poincaré map. The Poincaré map is going to be two-dimensional. So what I want to consider, a hierarchy of three-body problems. So there is a spatial one, and this is a seven-dimensional space. There is a planar one, which is elliptic, and this corresponds to five-dimensional space. And there is a planar circular, and this takes place in three-dimensional space. And the Poincaré map, the Poincaré map Alan was talking about, is a two-dimensional map. So my goal would be to study the dynamics of the elliptic problem, because as KAM theory indicates, mathematically it is impossible to see instabilities, serious instabilities in the circular problem. So what I will be trying to do, I will start with a circular problem, and I will indicate how a circular problem helps identifying instabilities for the elliptic problem. Yes, one could do numerical experiments with a five-dimensional differential equation, but there are instability regions. And these instability regions cause exponential divergence of the trajectories. And this exponential divergence of trajectories makes at least numerical experiments not 100% reliable. So now what I would like to do, I would like to write some formulas which were also present in Alan's talk and show you how one could use the splitting of separatrices in order to describe the phenomenon. So let me recall Delaunay variables. So now my goal is try to write this three-body problems in a very convenient form. And this is this was done by Delaunay. So there is a angular variable, which is argument of perihelion. There is another angular variable, which is mean motion variable. And it turns out that if you say that L, I will normalize everything in such a way that all not important constants are equal to 1. After all possible normalizations, what I could do, I could write my Hamiltonian for the circular problem in the following way. And this is already a tremendous amount of work to derive it. And mu is a mass ratio, namely mu is the mass of Jupiter, divided by mass of asteroid. And mathematically, it's kind of counterintuitive. On one side, you are making a very small perturbation, so you want your unperturbed system to tell you what is happening. On the other side, you exactly want Jupiter to make this random, to make instabilities to take place. So if one looks at the circular problem, then it has this form, and this is what Alan was talking about. So that's an unperturbed system, which is, let me denote it IH0. And it turns out that if you write elliptic problem where Sun and Jupiter are no longer having circular orbits, then what you will get a circular Hamiltonian plus mu times E0 F2, and it depends on all the variables. So E0 is eccentricity. It's an eccentricity of Jupiter. So so my goal is to try to describe instabilities in Kirkwood gaps. And in order to study instabilities in Kirkwood gaps, I do some heuristic analysis, and I pick two most important terms in my differential equation. And because mass of asteroid is negligibly small, I approximate it with a restricted problem. And there are two types of restricted problems. One, when Sun and Jupiter are performing circular motion, and the other one, which arguably is more important, is when Sun and Jupiter is performing elliptic motions. And the random fluctuations, which I was talking about, will be caused by this term. So it turns out that the random fluctuations, they occur because of ellipticity of Jupiter, and this ellipticity of Jupiter will give eccentricity of asteroid some random kicks. So now what I would like to do, I would like to study this Hamiltonian, which is a small perturbation of the circular per Hamiltonian. And now I'm approaching to the picture which Alan showed. So I'm interested in the lower left picture. And now let me concentrate on the enlarged copy of lower left picture. So the enlarged copy of lower left picture will help me to understand motion of the circular problem. So this is a Poincaré map which describes orbit of the circular problem, and 3-to-1 resonance I was talking about is exactly this period 3 orbit. And this is a picture which describes motions to the first order approximation. And if one looks a little bit more carefully, then you'll start to see perturbation of the pendulum picture. And actually, what the idea which I'm trying to tell you is that actually this picture and this picture for the circular problem plus eigen elliptic variables, they are very similar in the nature. So now, having this picture in mind, let me try to tell you how the elliptic problem behaves. And what it turns out that the elliptic problem shares a lot of instabilities and randomness which this example give. So, I'm interested in the dynamics of elliptic problem. And if one follows Poincaré and considers a Poincaré map, so this is a map from LLGG into L prime G prime. And this is a map which takes t equal to 0 into t equal to 2 pi. Then it turns out that this map could be described as follows. There is a small L, capital L component. So and let me just copy Alan's picture. So let's see, there is an inner one, outer one. So it turns out that this is a picture which occurs in LL variables. So this way. So when one adds a perturbation, then what happens is that there are splittings occurring, which are shown above. And these splittings are actually origins of instability of what I would like to talk about. So this is a picture in the semi-major axis mean anomaly plane. And what I want to do, I want to add two more directions, which is small g, capital G plane. And small g is an argument of perihelion. And to the first approximation, the orbits on a small g, capital G plane are more or less the same as the orbits of the pendulum, the orbits of the rotator. And it turns out that when you make, this is a situation for E0 equal to 0. So it turns out that when you make an elliptic perturbation of the problem, then the following thing takes place. You could take an analog of the neighborhood of separatrices, which I have here, so as a trapping region. So it turns out that when orbits are in a small neighborhood of resonance, then they are trapped there for a very long time. And what I would like to say is that if you start close to the separatrices, then this region is going to be of the same nature as the region for the pendulum. So it turns out that the orbits, if they start here, at least the circular part, they will keep repeating itself. And when you turn on E0 and E0 becomes not equal to 0, then you start to exhibit some random behavior, and you start to see some random fluctuations. And let me say that, let me call it a meta theorem, that eccentricity of asteroid in a mean motion resonance exhibits random fluctuations. So it turns out that if you pick initial condition of your three-body problem, elliptic three-body problem, where one component belongs to the rate-shaded region, and the other component you just pick where you like it, then the circular variable, let me call it a circular variable, it will be trapped for a very long time in this shaded region. And if you like more picture of the pendulum, then the orbit is actually going to be trapped in this region. And what happens that every time the orbit makes an excursion around the pendulum, the vertical component makes an increment of order of small parameter. So let me write heuristically what happens, and I hope this will So each excursion along separatrices of a pendulum takes time approximately logarithm of 1 over mu is 0. And it turns out that after each excursion, the increment of eccentricity or of asteroid makes an increment of order mu is 0. So, or you could say that increment of eccentricity is the same as increment of angular momentum. So it turns out that every time there is an excursion around the separatrices, then it takes approximately that much time, and the increment of action, the increment of eccentricity of asteroid is approximately mu is 0. And then the conjecture is that these increments, they will become random as time goes on. And I will just reproduce the picture which I have drawn before. So your eccentricity of asteroid will have some random behavior as time goes on. And then looking at these formulas, if you believe that randomness indeed occurs, then you could come up with heuristic diffusion time. And you could come up with a heuristic description of wisdom phenomenon or existence of Kirkwood gaps. So what I claim, and the part of it we have proven rigorously with Jacques Fijot, Marcel Guardier, and Paul Aldan. So we actually proved existence of orbits which exhibits this kind of random behavior. But the part of a mathematical story we didn't justify yet is actually that these orbits occupy have positive probability. So basically, what I would like to say is that the article of Poincaré exhibited this splitting of separatrices phenomenon. And it turns out that if orbits start in a small neighborhood of this picture, then they will stay in a small neighborhood of this picture for a while, and now there is a theoretic justification of it. And what happens is as orbits are staying close to this contour for a while, then the other component, which is you could think of it as eccentricity of asteroid or as angular momentum of asteroid, while the semi-major axis makes an excursion around this contour, eccentricity will start to change. And what happens is that at each excursion of semi-major axis leads to change in eccentricity. And this change could accumulate. And finally, maybe I'll erase this picture and say that if one believes into Chirikov conjecture, and there is a work of Trishov which justifies it, so let me tell you about diffusion time. So if I take in a Kirkwood gap, for the elliptic problem, the diffusion time, so time e asteroid of t minus e star is equal to e star, then t is going to be proportional to logarithm of 1 over mu e 0 divided by mu e 0 square. And this is something of order of billions of years. So basically, what behind this is behind this so-called transition change chains and normally hyperbolic cylinders. So, Jacques, how much time do I have? 10 minutes, okay. So now I will say some words about mathematical part of this story. Namely, I will tell the mechanism which was proposed by Arnold, and I'll say why from a dynamical system's point of view, this seems a very reasonable description. So what I would like to do, I would like to start with this picture. And as I said, this picture is just this picture multiplied by additional variable, which you could think as a rotator. And what is important in this mechanism is that if you change a little bit differential equation, then this mechanism will still take place. So this mechanism is actually robust. So, so it turns out that if one considers this was x, p of x, p 2 of x. So if one considers x star, then so if you consider x star union with p of x star, this is actually f mu. F. No, this is not f mu. This is f 2 mu. So if one considers f mu union f 2 mu across the cylinder where g variables live. Then it turns out that near, so this is actually a cylinder in four-dimensional space. So this belongs to a circle across a line. This is where L and L variables, and this is in across a line. This is in G variables. So it turns out that close to this cylinder, there exists a cylinder which is just a small deformation of it. So near this cylinder, the elliptic problem has an invariant cylinder. So what does it mean, invariant cylinder? It means that if I pick an initial condition exactly on this blue two-dimensional cylinder, then whatever amount of time I will integrate my orbits, they will stay inside of this cylinder. But this cylinder is actually highly unstable, because if I'm not careful enough and pick initial conditions not exactly on the equilibrium, so it turns out that any initial condition which starts close to this cylinder will inevitably go away along the corresponding separatrices. But it turns out that there is a Poincaré-Melnikov condition which says that there will be vertical increments which are described by Poincaré-Melnikov integral. So it turns out that after each excursion, if I look at delta G, which is an increment of my pendulum, then there will be an integral of f 2 mu e 0 of along the separate hemoclinic solution. So F2 of gamma of T dt, where gamma is just a separatrix solution. So gamma is a hemoclinic solution. And so it turns out that because there is so much randomness by how close you are to the saddle initial condition, then these increments, even though they are described by some Poincaré-Melnikov function, so they will depend strongly on the initial condition. And it turns out that because of the chaos, or because what Poincaré said, that the picture is so complicated that he cannot even draw it, there is enough randomness for these excursions in the pendulum that these increments of angular momentum becomes random as time goes on. And this leads to fluctuations of eccentricity, and these fluctuations of eccentricity shows that on a time scale of billions of years, there will be moments of time when asteroids will develop sufficiently large eccentricity, and as they develop a sufficiently large eccentricity, they will start a mass crossing orbit, and is with an enormous probability the Mars will give them a kick. So basically, I guess to summarize, what I would like to say is that the randomness and the chaos which was observed by Poincaré in this picture nowadays leads to a mathematical description of instabilities in Kirkwood gaps, and this mathematical description is heavily uses Poincaré's ideas. And on one side, on the other side, there is still mathematically a tremendous amount of work to be done because, as I said, what I'm studying only a restricted problem. Namely, I'm studying only the problem when mass of asteroid is equal to zero and all of the planets move in the same plane. But at least in this model, when all planets move in the same plane and asteroid has mass equal to zero, there is a somewhat coherent description of the phenomena of formation of Kirkwood gaps. So I guess I will stop here.
So thank you for this talk. I think I want to make a remark first, maybe before the question, is that the difficulty here is to demonstrate rigorously the result.
Yes. Yes.
So your model is very simplified, and on the other hand, you need very small perturbation, but in the real problem. So you end up with a very long time scale for this eccentricity to increase, because in the real problem, the eccentricity increases much more rapidly when you put a particle into the 3-to-1 resonance. It's not billions of years, but it's million of years.
Yes.
Can you comment on that?
Yes, I could certainly comment on that. There are some rigorous proof of computer-assisted proof of KEM theorem requires mass ratio to be 10 to the minus 39. So when mathematicians are trying rigorously to establish existence of some geometric object, they need to have small parameter to be extremely small. And the same happens with us. In order to see that the correspondence cylinder does not disappear, we need to artificially put small parameter to be extremely small. But the main feature which I want to emphasize that this is a robust mechanism. And I strongly believe that if you make eccentricity equal to 1 over 20, computationally it's a very difficult problem. But this cylinder will still be there. And again, mathematically, we need orbits to be very close to separatrices, but in reality, they don't have to be really close. So for mathematical proof, we need two parameters to be sufficiently small, and it's not necessary. So I also believe that it's a matter of millions of years, and I guess Wisdom found some orbits which takes hundreds of thousands of years. So,
est-ce qu'il y a d'autres questions?
It's 10 to the minus 6 smaller than Jupiter. So it's 6 orders of magnitude smaller. And I will emphasize, if you change a little bit the corresponding model, that this mechanism persists. It's a difficult numerical project to see how big one could change differential equation. But if you add one more asteroid, it will still be there.
And maybe I can comment on that also, because in the model, in this model, the asteroid is supposed to have a zero mass, so they don't influence each other. But in reality, they do. And they have, because also the problem is the asteroid, there are plenty of them, so they have close encounters. So because of these close encounters, they have some very rapid chaos that occur, but this is outside of what he's speaking.
Just you see, the dimension grows so rapidly that.
Nature of this randomness is it really a standard random walk that it says?
This is what is observed numerically. So, one possibility is to observe it on Arnold's model, and there is a tremendous amount of numerics where people observe it. So that's why it's called Arnold diffusion, because physicists plug in enormous number of initial conditions, run numerics, and they see a normal distribution. In a three-body problem, we see the same dynamical objects taking place. So it is really, numerically, it really looks like a random walk. Yeah, it's a standard map. So you could think that the dynamics on a cylinder is a standard map or Kick pendulum, and you make a random shift. So the model which believes to be is that you have composition of this Kick pendulum maps with the random shift, and randomness is coming from the pendulum or from separatrices of a three-body problem.
Merci encore.